Whether you're a world-class athlete or a podcaster like me, we all understand the importance of mental and physical well-being and proper recovery for top-notch performance. That's why I'm excited that Unified Healing is sponsoring podcasts on the Blue Wire Network. Unified Healing is a new and super innovative global network of wellness centers powered by Energy Enhancement System, or EE System. If you haven't heard of the EE System yet, then you'll want to listen up. This technology promotes wellness, deep relaxation, purification, and rejuvenation. Wherever you are across the globe, access to a center is easy and affordable. Interested in experiencing the EE System technology for yourself? Go to unifiedhealing.com/bluewire to learn more and find a center near you. That's Unified, U-N-I-F-Y-D, healing.com/bluewire. No material or testimonials on the Unified Healing website are intended to be viewed as medical advice or a substitute for professional medical advice, diagnosis, or treatment. Always seek the advice of your physician or other qualified healthcare provider with any questions you may have regarding a medical condition or treatment and before undertaking a new healthcare regimen, including EE System.
We have a surprise for you. This Saturday, October 14th at 4 p.m., the Road Tripping crew will be recording a live podcast at the Amish store at Crocker Park in Westlake. Along with listening into episode 51, us, along with Amish, have collaborated on some pretty cool swag. At least we believe so. So for all of you, released today, October 13th, in store and online, you can grab your very own Road Tripping tees. And if you don't get a chance to grab one today, you can do so with us tomorrow. Crocker Park, Amish store, 4 p.m.
Jersey Weirsies.
To another edition of Road Tripping. I'm your host, Allie Clifton, and we've got Richard Channing, of course. And for the first time by himself, Swish. J.R. Smith.
Big Earl.
Swish, it only took 50 episodes. This is like 50th episode.
Hey, man. You can't give it all to him at once.
No. Don't show him the whole bag. Don't show him the whole bag.
Every time an episode was dropped, it's all about, where's J.R. Smith? Can't we get Swish on by himself?
Really? So yeah. I'm like a fan favorite or something.
Yeah.
You are, but it's funny because you've only kind of half been on here. But
he is wearing a shirt. Let's get that out there. He's wearing a shirt.
I don't know. Finish this wine. It might come off.
Sausage party.
No.
Have you guys seen that movie?
Oh, it is hilarious.
Oh, it is hilarious.
It got a little weird at the end, but it was hilarious.
I'm the only person who didn't see that movie.
I've seen parts of it. I faded. I think I watched it on the plane.
Dude, it's so funny. It is so.
Understand who's saying it's funny.
90% of America?
Exactly.
Yeah. Yeah. Rotten Tomatoes, 96%.
You're lying.
No way.
He's making it up.
Lies. 73%.
Stop. We're going to stop that.
OD trash.
Trash cat.
All right, guys. Before we get into this recording, this episode with Swish, I do want to give a little bit of a shout out because a week from today, less than a week from today, actually, Wednesday, October 18th, at 8 o'clock is the annual Big Shots and Little Stars event, Flashes of Hope for the Cavaliers. Richard and JR, of course, this will be your third time, Channing. You have yet to experience it. But it obviously is a very, very big event.
Yeah, he didn't make the first year, and then last year he was gone.
Yeah, I was gone.
Oh, okay.
Last year, yeah.
So for our listeners who are not aware, it's hosted by Flashes of Hope, and it's a benefit for the Children's Tumor Foundation. It's for obviously raising funds to kind of accelerate the cure for children's cancer in research as well. It's an amazing, incredible event. There's a fashion show that goes on and so forth. And of course, as you guys are all aware, it's always about you guys in terms of, you know, you're the professional athletes. You're the ones that children always look up to. But when it comes to this event, and you guys can speak a little bit more on it yourselves, but you guys kind of take a back seat. You know, you are the big shots, but they are the little stars. And that's what that night is all about, to celebrate. And this year the theme is Alice in Wonderland. So the queue will be kind of transformed into that. And in case you can't make the event, just a heads up that Cavs.com, it'll be streamed live, hosted by the Cavs play-by-play announcer on Fox Sports Ohio, Fred, and yours truly. So it's a great night. Obviously, you guys still remember Richard and JR, your little stars from the last few years, but also as fathers, all three of you, it's a night that you guys really enjoy.
Yeah, Channing, what are your thoughts?
How much are you looking forward to it, Channing?
So tell me how or what I should expect.
No, it's amazing. You have these kids that I feel like, you know, really look forward to the event. You know, not only do they get to hang out with us, but they also get a chance to kind of shine themselves. You know, they're on stage, they're walking with guys. I think they really, really enjoy it. And it's a chance because it's not just like a hey, hello. It's like they hang out with us for a while. You know, you spend a lot of time with them.
Do they have cookies? Do the kids get cookies? No.
Do they get cookies?
Yeah.
Yes.
Okay.
Well, you know, the silence that you just got from everyone was just like, are you really like...
Out of all the questions.
Out of all the questions. Like, that's what you're going to contribute to the conversation.
Number one.
Do they get cookies?
Right now. And number two.
Okay.
I'm just saying.
That's fair. That's fair. You are hungry right now. So the kid's getting cookies.
Right.
Swish. Like, you've been into it this year. This will be your third year also. Yeah. Like, you know, it's a good event. It is a great one. And it's something that when you go to different teams. How many teams have you been on?
New Orleans, Denver, New York here.
Yeah, but once you go to different teams and to see the different charities or different events that each team is involved with, I think this is one of the best ones that I've been a part of since I've been in the league.
Yeah, for sure. And I'm very afraid of, you know, well, I have been in the past, but due to, you know, my recent family issues that I had to get used to it. But, like, being in the hospital and seeing kids in those situations, it's a very tough situation mentally and physically for me because I really try to put myself in those shoes, with those kids' shoes when, you know, I was 5, 6, 7, 8, going outside, playing with my friends or my cousins and just shooting hoops. And you look at a kid like some of these kids and they're just sitting up in the hospital for months or years. And it's not their fault, obviously. You know, there's nothing anybody else could do about it because if it was, we would have done it already. But be able to see those kids that night and see how many and look at the looks on their faces when they see guys like myself, RJ Chen and Bron. So many guys. I mean, they really enjoy it, and I think more than anything, we should try and keep that going as much as possible. Because at the end of the day, they don't deserve that.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. It's truly a night to celebrate them. And for those who may not know about it, but these kids get to come and they're styled and they're put in dresses and they're made to feel amazing because they've either gone through a battle with cancer and they've come through, or they're currently fighting a battle. And so that's a night to really make it all about them. And like you said, to see their smiles. And so it really tugs at the heartstrings. So,
and I think they get cookies, Channing.
Yeah.
They get cookies.
The most important thing.
What they want.
No, but they raise a lot of money to search for the cure for,
really
for,
that's
yeah. awesome.
For all these sickness, illnesses. So I think it's a huge night.
So again, Wednesday, October 18th, if you can't be in attendance, join us on Cavs.com. We will be live streaming the fashion show and the night in its entirety. But with that said, Swish, how is Dakota doing?
She's doing great. She's my little twin, so she looks like exactly like me, which is actually scary to have a female looking like me. It's scary, but she's adorable. I mean, she never goes to sleep. This is a problem. She takes her little.
But she is like you.
Yeah. she take her 5-10 minute nap and then wake up and be live for 12 hours. But for the most part, she's doing great. Thank you.
She's come to games too, right? I've seen her.
She comes to. She's been to the. The wine and gold scrimmage. It's funny because, you know, you see kids and you think of a baby, like they wouldn't really know what they're watching. She watches the game. Like,
really?
I'll play the video game with 2K or have basketball on TV, and she'll sit there and watch the game with me. Like,
oh man, I wish.
That's what Little Rich.
Like, that's boo, put on gug. Goosebumps over Transformers or Power Rangers.
Yeah, Lil Rich is locked in, so I can relate. Lil Rich has been locked in since day one. Sure. Day one.
You gotta love that.
Yeah.
You gotta love it.
Yeah. You don't really realize, like you trying to say, oh no, it's just what they see in it, but it is kind of cool when they get locked in and they're like, oh, they're into it.
No, yeah, for sure.
Yeah, they either you either lock into it or you don't. Like, Hendrix would be locked in for a day and then be like,
I'm in the Legos now.
I'm in the Legos.
All right, cool. Yeah.
Let's go shoot hoops. Now I'm going to play Plants vs. Zombies.
Yeah. Lil Rich's first, one of his first sentences was, daddy up, because he wanted me to get up and play hoops with him. And I was like, man. Dude, I'm tired, buddy. I've been doing this for a few hours a day. Like, you just woke up.
For a few years,
yeah,
by the way.
Yeah, yeah.
Lil Rich made a little cameo on the podcast this summer.
Yeah, he did.
When he came on.
Well, really?
Yeah, because he would be upstairs. And so we would just kind of do it in the Red Cup Lounge, like downstairs.
Hold on. Is that what you call it?
Red Cup Lounge?
Yeah. If you listen to a podcast.
Yeah, I
really don't listen, huh? I don't listen to my own podcast. Yeah. I don't listen to myself.
I hate listening to myself, by the way.
Yo, it is. I stole it from Jared Jack. Like, he used to call his spot. And so I kept saying, oh, in my bar or in my basement. Like, and I was like, I just had to give it a name. So Jared Jack, who had that amazing full court heave. Amazing full court heave. And if you know Jared Jack, like some of us know Jay Jack.
Yeah.
He could have just been like really pissed off and might have just decided to throw it.
Oh,
I don't
sure.
know if it was like a Shaq and a Fool moment. But yeah. So he called his spot. He had a spot. He called it the Red Cup Lounge in Atlanta. So I was just like, yeah, that's where we're going to record
Red
the podcast.
Solo Cups.
You got a song for everything. Yeah, yeah.
Keep singing it, Channing. Keep singing it.
We're here to party.
You going to do the road trip and jingle?
No, we have a really tight song for it.
Oh, really?
The only thing the only road trip and jingle is the NBC joint.
Da, 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 oh, da, da, da,
I mean, that's
yeah.
Is
that's,
that it?
That's classic.
No,
tell
that's
me one more time, Rob. Tell me one more time.
When that song was popular,
yeah.
Let's freeze for a moment. What were you guys doing in your life?
Oh my God, I was locked. Triple headers. That's what it was. Sunday triple headers. Saturday double headers. And it was the same eight teams. It was MJ. It was the Lakers. It was the Pistons. It was the Knicks. It was the Pacers. And then
sometimes you would get the Trailblazers or the Celtics.
Yeah, the Trailblazers.
Or
yeah,
the Jazz.
Celtics were never. Jazz, yes.
Knicks for sure.
Knicks were for sure because they had Patrick Ewing.
Early Orlando.
No, you're wrong.
I'm talking about Shaq and Penny Orlando.
The playoffs. The playoffs, yes, obviously. But like, you get that mid-season Marv Albert, Bill Walton, Snapper Jones. Like, you got these guys, and it was just it was easily my favorite day. We'd go to church, come home. And you could
Bill Walton is old, bro. He's been commentating for
remember, he retired from basketball super early and he went straight into commentating.
Yeah.
Doing big time commentating from like day one.
Right.
Just give Karl Malone the ball, let him operate the offense.
Yeah. Oh, that is the worst move
down,
in history. Throw it down.
Did you guys listen to the game that he did of yours last year?
Oh, God.
I did not.
No.
They did the analyst crossover between NBA and college?
Him and Dick Vitale.
Oh,
you never got to experience Dick Vitale. Dick Vitale was awesome when you were in high school, and then when you got to college, you freaking hated him.
Really?
Yeah, because he loves Duke so much, and he just strokes them.
That's
and,
Arizona.
So like when you were no, it's not an Arizona thing. It's literally everybody.
Oh, okay.
But it's like when you're in high school, it's if you're a PTPer. You know what I'm saying? If you're a diaper dandy. Like, these are things that, like, a part of our American culture.
Don't get over, baby.
Yeah, if he's like, he's a diaper dandy, baby. Like, when he would say these things, you'd be like, I've made it.
Right.
Like Dick Vitale called me a diaper dandy.
Man, that's crazy. I went to a game with UMass when Calipari and Camby and all those guys were at UMass, and Vitale was doing one of the games. And I was actually, like, that little kid in the tunnel, like, oh, man, I want to shake Dick Vitale's hand. And he actually slapped my hand, so that was awesome.
Did he slap it away?
He slapped my hand like high five.
Yeah, like get your hand out of here.
Get out of here, little boy.
I can't wait to get home.
Do you know what a diaper dandy is, Allie?
No.
Oh my God. Yeah.
No.
I saw her looking over.
Richard, I get so tired of you calling me out.
What about a PTPer?
I was slowly calling a PTPer.
Do you know what a PTPer is?
Primetime player.
Yay! Well, you know that.
So you should know diaper dandy.
Yeah, so no. So diaper dandy is basically saying like he's going to be a diaper dandy. It means like he's a freshman stud. Now it's different because back in the day, it wasn't just freshman All-Americans.
No,
back in the day, you were like junior, senior. So when a freshman came in and he had a big
– it actually meant something.
It means something. If you were a freshman and you came in to juniors and seniors and you had a big-time impact, you were like a diaper dandy. right? So like that was kind of the thing. It's like, you know, you
Jay
were
Will.
Jay Will, like being a freshman and right. balling. Now being a freshman and balling it's a joke.
It's nothing.
It's a joke because no, there's no
they're not playing against seniors.
Yeah, no juniors and seniors.
Sophomores and juniors.
Oh yeah, because it used to take a year or two.
Even if you're, even if they're a junior now, it's like a junior walk on. It's not like, seriously, because any kid, like you can literally right now average 10 points in college and be
a
number two pick in the draft.
Yeah,
this like is true. And it's what
is
crazy.
Talent in his eyes.
But I tell people they made a mistake when they stopped letting high school kids come.
Oh
for sure.
The NCAA, they're in such an attempt to control it because they wanted these high-level players to come to college. But what it did is it killed the talent pool. It killed the talent pool. Before, if you wanted to go straight out of high school, you could go like JR did, Bron did. But if you wanted to go to college, it's because you wanted to go to college,
yeah.
right? It wasn't right. like, oh,
I have to go.
You have to go. Now it's like, oh, I'm just going to do it for 1 year.
Right. You can go anywhere for 1 year. You can go to DeVry University.
Yeah.
Loop,
yeah. It was okay to be a senior in college, right? It was okay to be a junior in college. It was okay to stay for an extra year, even though you were an All-American. Now it's like the further along you go in college, the more they feel like you're not talented.
Yeah.
Like it actually worked completely opposite of what they tried to do because they want to change a rule.
The more you're in college now, it's just like they're looking for more flaws
right.
to your game as opposed to, oh, he's doing this better or he's doing that better. And
wow.
Yeah, that's why,
every, like that.
Yeah, that's why yeah. every year it's like Lonzo Ball's a freshman. You know, the kid Markel Fultz is a freshman. Malik Monk is a freshman. All the kids are freshmen because the talent pool before, not saying that these guys weren't nice, but before, if he showed up on campus and I'm a junior. Yeah, I'm a junior.
He would have went there at Kentucky if they had stayed 3 years.
Yeah.
Think about if any of those guys from Kentucky had actually stayed 3 years, you would have had like a guy like John Wall playing with Eric Bledsoe.
They actually were the same class. Yeah. Don't worry about it. Yeah.
But I'm just saying, it's okay, Chan. But that was what it used to be. It used to be you used to show up on campus. You used to show up on campus. There'd be sophomores, juniors, and seniors that were balling, right? It was very rare that a freshman dominated college. Very rare.
Extremely.
And this was only, I'm talking about 15 years ago, 10 years ago.
Easily.
Until
I was supposed to go to Carolina. So on my visit, I'm walking into Sean May, Raymond Felton, Rashard McCants, and these guys are juniors at the time, and it's like, damn, I don't even know if I can play on this team.
Yeah.
Like, literally going and thinking, but I mean.
But you show up on a campus, and the best player is a sophomore or a freshman.
Like,
you show up out of high school.
I just played against him last year in AAU.
And
so
killed him.
Like,
and killed him. It's a joke. So, no, the NCAA, like, to try and make change because they wanted – the NCAA wanted these guys like LeBron, like JR, to come to college so they can make money off of them.
Right.
The NBA didn't want it because they felt like it's hard to judge their talent off other high school players. So they tried to get them to go to the NCAA, but what it did is it actually just lowered the talent pool in the NCAA.
And now because kids are going 1 year overseas and coming right back, and then they're right back in the league anyway. So it's like – It's actually pointless. And now you got kids reclassifying up just so they can get out of high school sooner to go overseas or to do that 1 year in college because they know they're going to be a lottery pick anyway.
Chang doesn't care what you're saying.
He's a snack king.
He's the snack king. He doesn't care. He doesn't care what you're saying.
Was that one of the reasons?
Was that one of the reasons
why you didn't go to college? No, but you just mentioned you went to Carolina and you saw.
That was my dream school. I always wanted, you know, obviously Jordan and all of that, and I always wanted to be, you know, following Jordan's footsteps and, you know, and have that college experience because Carolina was my school, and I went on a visit. It was amazing, and then I started thinking about it. I talked to my mom about it. I didn't talk to my dad because my dad was biased. You do whatever you want to do, but I want you to go to the league. This is your dream. Da, da, da. And I sat there and talked to my mom. I was like, Mom, like, what do you think? Because my mom was a big person in school. Like, she listen, you go get your degree. You go, you know. And my whole thought was, listen, I'm going to college for however long I'm going to go to get to the NBA. Like, graduating wasn't even in my thought process. So...
Graduating feels good, by the way.
Oh, I'm sure it does. Absolutely.
Yeah,
I mean,
8 years.
Did you graduate?
Graduated.
God, Ellie, do you not listen to the podcast? Yes.
You went 4 years to school?
Yeah. Yes.
Of course.
Oh, yeah, I did know that.
He took a little bit of time for him to develop.
He was studying volleyball. I mean,
yeah.
Anthropology, guys.
That's right.
The study of people. It's actually very interesting.
That's I took anthropology class my freshman year. Yeah,
she said a class, taking, not a major in it.
Dude, we had awesome classes, though. It's like the funnest major. It's like the
there's nothing wrong with Arizona.
Oh, Arizona is amazing.
Like everything you guys talk about. Is
you know, no, like we had Terry Francona on here. Oh, you know who talks a lot of shit about Arizona? IT.
Oh, yeah.
Right? So
oh,
all because yeah. So IT, I was like, IT, I used to bust your school's ass.
Oh, yeah.
He's like, oh, yeah, y'all nice, but we used to bust Channing's ass.
He's hey, like, but what's really fucked up about it? I said, beep.
You can't beep after
you get a delayed beep. Is that okay? I used to give them work.
Did you win?
No.
You didn't beat them.
No, we did beat them, but they were, that was the
so you played them eight times. How many times you beat them?
Three times.
Four or five.
Whoa. Yeah, that's not good for Arizona.
50% at all.
Yeah.
No,
that's not good.
Never, it was tough to win up there, but they used to get that head whooped back in Arizona.
Okay. Somebody okay. Well, yo, we're gonna get IT on here to discuss it.
Get him on there. Yo, low key. He's low key funny.
No, he's really funny.
No, not low
he's
key.
Really funny.
He's very high key, hilarious.
Yeah. Yo, you know who's way funnier than I thought? Derrick Rose is hilarious.
As quiet as he is, he's funny as
hell. He's so funny.
The thing about D is you just have to engage him.
Yeah, yeah.
You have to engage him. Like, he's not, he can walk by you and say what's up and keep it moving. Then, yeah. But if you're like, yo, Derrick, man, what's going on? And then, yeah, then he'll talk to you. But yeah. Other than that, he just kind of does his own thing.
Like, I'd be like, hey, D Rose, what's
oh, jeez. He's giving up on you.
He has. We're doing these sit downs for Fox. And he, one of the questions is, who on the team would you not want to get into a debate with?
Yeah.
And he literally said Richard Jefferson and Channing Frye. He goes, because number one, they talk too much.
And he doesn't talk, though. So I'm like, of course, me. I'm like.
But he did say the one thing that people wouldn't win against him in is chess.
Chess? Ooh, I like that challenge.
Chess, and there was one really? Of the, oh, ping pong. He was like, he said that you, because of your length, yeah. Like, you know.
I suck at
But
ping
in chess,
pong.
He doesn't think anyone could beat him.
You, know, you play ping pong?
Beer pong.
Me, I do play, but I'm not. I
wouldn't
consider.
You have a table in New York?
I did, but like, I got better.
It was
better.
More for flip cup. And
more for flip cup and beer pong. But I played a lot, and I got better, but I didn't start playing till I was literally in my like mid-20s. Like some of the guys that play ping pong, yeah.
Oh, yeah.
Like, if you start playing ping pong as a kid, like the stuff that you can do is tough.
Yeah.
Like Josh Kroenke, who was on the podcast, like he is nice. He's really, really nice at it. But like all of our boys used to play, so I started playing later. So I can't really consider myself a tennis player.
Nene. I give up.
Nene's nice.
Unbelievable.
His hand. Does Nene. He use a paddle or his hand?
No, he Jeez. Definitely uses a paddle.
The Euro the Euros the are nice.
So you know how hard it is for like the if you're like if you where I'm from, like if you palm
New
the
Jersey.
Paddle in New Jersey, if okay. you palm the paddle, it's hard to like, you know, you can't
backhand,
obviously you can't backhand it.
Yeah.
But with Nene, like his hands are so big and his length, like there is no backhand. He literally flips the paddle between hand to hand.
Oh.
So as the ball's coming, he's got so much spin.
No way.
And everything.
No way.
He's ridiculous, bro. Like it's
Mean Streets of Brazil, dog. That's what they do, man.
No, that's real live Mean Streets of Brazil.
Like, I'm not lying.
City
of God.
Like,
we
that
had to go
through
the favelas,
real.
Right? We had to like drive on a freeway.
They remind you of Chandler, Arizona.
Yeah, I was like, yo, what's up, homies? No, I'm just kidding. I've never. I've been.
That's some serious stuff.
I never wanted to lock. I wanted to lock the bus window, like. It is seriously one of the like most, I don't want to say downtrodden, that's not the right word, like the most like sad.
It's just poverty.
Yeah, just straight maximum. Poverty. Yeah. I was like, yo, you people are like cinder blocks.
Did you say you people?
No, I well, sorry. That's not what I meant.
Am I going to have to edit?
I was about to say, that's edit. You people.
I was like, wow. Yo, they like.
You got a little Trump in you.
Oh,
you got
God.
A little Trump in you, huh? Don't even worry about it.
But you know what's amazing? When you go to the Christ the Redeemer,
yeah,
and you see the mountains, how much they're taking over the mountains, the favelas. They just keep growing up and up and up and up. It's unbelievable.
All you need is six cinder blocks and a tin
and they're like
metal,
four or five stories
yeah,
high.
Oh, man.
Like,
yeah. Man, shit was crazy. Shit was cray-cray. So, Jared, let's ask important questions.
Okay.
Oh, here we go.
How mad are you that you're sitting here and not golfing? Because your eyes have been straight out that window.
Actually, I'm not mad at all. You know, surprisingly for me, I only play like 8 or 9 times this summer.
Golf. Really?
Yeah.
What happened?
Well, one, you got married.
Oh, mistake. Keep going.
Mistake.
You were in Mexico for 3 weeks.
I'm saying mistake one. Mistake one on the why you're killing your golf game.
I got three girls at home.
Oh, man.
Four on top of my wife. I got two bulldogs. I had to make boys. Yeah. Just so that's I'm not alone.
Tough. You know, it's tough because I can't relate to that because I have two sons.
Yeah.
I'm with you, though. I'm with you.
What's your favorite thing about raising girls?
My favorite thing, they're always going to be daddy's girls.
Yep. Oh.
So no matter what. I can never leave me. I can literally walk out and walk back in, and it'd be like the first time they see me.
It's the best.
Aww.
It's amazing.
Yeah. When Richard's so old, and he's like, little RJ, little Richard,
like, Dad,
come
on. Dad, go to the home. Dad, how did you get out the home?
It's so funny. The one thing that guys with only girls talk about is how much, like, oh, well, my daughter's going to take care of me. You realize that at some point in time, she's going to be married, and her husband's going to be like, really? This old motherfucker again? Your pops is coming again?
I'll tell you one thing. He better have a bankroll.
Yeah.
He better
have a guest house.
What?
That's what I'm saying.
For
look,
sure.
What's up? Five bedrooms?
You know what else is great about girls? I could sit there, like, I'm a huge video gamer. I'm a gamer. Like, you know, so
That's a bold statement, but keep going.
I play video games 8 hours out of the day.
What?
Easily.
What?
Yeah.
Oh. What's your game you're on right now?
I'm on 2K right now.
What's your gamer tag?
Don't do that. No. Don't do that.
I've done that before.
That's a setup.
Oh my God.
It's the worst.
It's the worst.
People talk reckless.
Reckless, but like the amount of friend requests you can get in 10 minutes.
We don't have that many people listening.
It's ridiculous. Not even close.
Okay, so
Hold on. Breaking news.
The last time we did this, count to 10.
No. Breaking news. Ezekiel Elliott's suspension reinstated after court's ruling. Rafa, that doesn't mean for you to check your phone.
It's just for JR. He's a big Cowboys fan.
You're a Cowboys fan, and I have Ezekiel Elliott on my fantasy league, as do most people.
And for our listeners, we're going to get back to why girls are so great because you're a gamer, but you can continue.
Yeah.
She does this.
It's tough for me because I don't know because I only make boys. I don't know if I'll ever get to truly experience why girls are so great.
Well.
You play video games and they just sit there with you? They just hang with you?
No, actually, they leave me alone. They leave me alone. Let me be.
It's boring.
No, because they're cool as stuff. Like, my daughter will be just, she just wants to, she'll color while I play. So I'm like, yeah, Lauren, I'm taking care of Margot. And she's like down there coloring, singing a song.
First of all, they're in their own world. They're the princess or the queen of their own world, for sure.
Every day.
And then, after 2 hours or not even that, maybe an hour. Daddy, you want something to drink? You want some chips? You want something? No? Yeah. Okay. No, I'm good, babe. Thank you. Appreciate it.
It's the heart of us.
And then just leave me alone for another hour and come back.
You're a little child.
Like, seriously.
Because the fact that he can sit there and play video games and they let him do that, it says that they're obviously independent, but they like to just be in your presence.
Right.
But they don't need your attention.
Exactly.
They just want to be in the same room.
Yes.
Yeah,
but
no,
they care.
Boys are completely different than that.
Boys, we got like, hey, Little Richard, what are you doing? Get out of there.
Can I tell you something about Little Rich? When we were recording this summer, I went down to the basement, and Richard was helping his wife and the other one upstairs, Phoenix, and Little Rich literally looked at me, ripped pages out of a book, threw a remote, threw two like stainless steel coffee things.
But the best thing is that he's staring at her the whole time. These are things I know I'm not supposed to do.
I dare you to say something.
It's like you're gonna get me in trouble. You're going down with me.
But then I went to like pick up the book, and he and I like went to like grab his hand after the next one, and then he would just run and go under the coffee table, and then you can't get him.
No. He's mischievous at a high level.
And he laughs.
And he laughs at you.
I wonder where he got it from.
Richard's son. I have never seen a kid so small, so fast in my life.
Oh, he's fast.
Like, my kids are ginormous and naked.
Ginormous.
My kids are, like, tired after watching him run. The hallway down the queue, this boy is, he gone.
He gone.
Shoom.
Yeah.
And like, listen, he kind of bow-legged too. And he be gone, dog. He's track. That boy need to run marathons. You could be like, Little Rich.
There's a ball
6 miles down that way. He could be like, ball. Boom.
Best thing that ever happened was that he's addicted to basketball because that allows him to wear himself out. But if it was like something else with that amount of energy, there'd be issues. They'd be legit.
He's not going to be a painter.
No.
Has he shown signs of jumping, of having the jumping ability?
Well, he's
that you
got
do?
Big calves already, which is weird for a 2.5-year-old. But
he has like a fat six pack.
Yeah, no, he it's no, like a yeah, baby he's got the six pack. Yeah, but no, he just is like I have a video. I showed it to you, mm-hmm. right? Where so he's laying in the bed. And there's video of him. And whenever he plays basketball, we're like, if he makes it, we're like, ooh, almost, good try, blah, blah. Or if he makes it, we're like, yay, good job. So he's sitting there watching the game. And I told Mike Breen, because he just did our game. And so you're watching the video, and he's laying in bed. And Mike Breen's commentating on the TV because we have like – because all he wants to watch is basketball and play is basketball. So you watch on the TV and you have the Mike Breen talking. It's Mike Breen. It might be like Van Gundy or whoever. So it's like, oh, yes, pass to J.R. Smith. J.R. Smith back to Kyrie up for the jumper. Oh, no good. And then he just goes, almost. And then it's like, it'll keep going. Then he's like, yay. Like, so like he now just associates like making a shot, missing a shot with almost. I showed you the video because he's just sitting there locked in and just all of a sudden he just goes into a cheer when somebody misses. And you're just like, I'm so proud, but this really kind of trips me out a little bit.
Okay, back to my important question. JR, what was your first tattoo? And then when did you say, screw it, I'm just going to get yatted up?
Yatted.
My first tattoo actually was the...
the Jordan?
Actually, it was not Jordan.
You have Jordan on your body?
Oh, no, he's got the 23. Logo. He's got the 23.
This is my Crying number face. In high school. I wore 23.
Why'd you wear 23?
And you should know these shoes because you wore them.
Oh, no, I can't see.
It's not a very good tattoo.
Yeah, well, it was old.
What is it?
It's supposed to be the Shocks.
Oh, those are the Shocks.
Yeah, so
that's an underneath spot, but yeah.
So that was Vince.
We called them the Boings. Remember the commercial?
Yes,
the Boings.
For sure.
You remember the commercial?
Sure.
It's like, yo, the Boing. So I was at Arizona, and there was like, when we found out that they were sending them to us, I was like, yo, the Boings are here. We're getting the Boings. And people were like, what the hell are the Boings?
I hooped a nose.
They were so fucking terrible.
So bad for
them. They were trash.
They were trash.
They were so discontinued. They were the biggest thing for like 5 years. Gone.
When I tell
you like,
the worst.
Yeah, wearing heels.
That was the worst.
With no bounce in it, though.
None.
Out of all the shoes that are supposed to, like, the Boings, no bounce in those.
Oh, they were awful. They were the awful shoes. Man. I used to kill them. Allie's looking at us again. Like, what?
What shoes
do you know,
are you talking
about?
You
know about the Nike Shox. You know about
what
the
year,
Nike Shox.
What year did
the
they
Shox.
Come out?
They came out in probably.
I was in high school.
I had
They had the little. They were like the four, like, prongs underneath the shoe.
Yeah,
and they were supposed to, like, absorb. They were terrible.
So, wait. How old were you when you got your first tattoo?
15. I was 15, and ooh. I wanted to get one, but I wasn't like sold on it because actually, what creeped me out is people that looked like me when I was a kid. Like I was like, "There's no way I'm getting tattoos I like that." This guy's got tattoos all over him. Da 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 da. And my sister was like, "Yo, let's get a tattoo." I'm like, "Yeah, first of all, mom and pops are not gonna let that happen. And two, why would we like? What are we getting tattoos for?" So she got a tattoo.
The commercial that I did with Vince was for the Nike Shox,
I remember that, obviously.
Yeah, that was a great
So do you know how many amazing. You have?
I counted this.
Full body?
Yes, three.
You don't have any on your legs?
Yeah, he does.
You do?
Yeah, he does.
Yeah, you never see him because of my sleeves, but or my tights. But yeah, I counted as three. I got from my
people
waist
say,
up.
People say they're two, addictive. I don't think you would agree with that.
What is the worst spot to get them?
The worst
ribs,
spot?
Ribs.
Your shin.
What about your? Yeah. You have one on your shin?
Yeah.
Dude, he is yatted.
What
up.
About on your neck?
Nah, that's easy.
What?
Yeah, because I mean, where there's bone, that's the most. That's the part that hurts the most.
Bone and skin, not good
at all.
Ugh.
Bone and skin is bad. Fat
like is amazing.
Yeah.
You're good.
Tattoo like, my ass all you want.
Wow.
It's actually kind of smart. That's kind of smart.
Yeah.
Oh, it hurts
so
bad.
You get a tattoo on your ass.
It's like chiseling. Oh, my God.
So edit that.
No, don't edit that. Channing wants a tattoo on his ass.
No, I said
you get a butterfly, Channing. Get a back tattoo.
A lower back.
Dolphins.
Yeah. Get an arrow sign.
First of all, dolphins my favorite animal.
He's going to get an arrow sign.
What kind of dolphin? There's a bunch.
There's a bunch of different dolphins? I didn't know that.
There's porpoises. Yeah.
Don't start
like
that.
I think there's
Channing. We're going down a route that we should.
Okay, but
the different types of dolphins.
Here's a real question that everybody wants to know. Do you drink Henny?
No.
See, everybody thinks that you drink Hennessy.
I know.
To tell people,
and this is, that's like the like.
You're not a Henny guy
at all. It's like a that's like the unwritten rule of
being a pro.
No, not even being a pro, but like just black people. I think you know they just associate Hennessy with black people for whatever reason is
because black people drink Hennessy. Do you remember?
Do you remember when
Black History Month was sponsored by Hennessy?
That was so disrespectful.
Listen, you have to see the signs. Don't NBA. Don't do that.
And they wonder why we're at where we're at now.
I think it was us. You have to see the signs.
Black History Month was sponsored by Hennessy. Please don't do that again.
It's gonna be Hennessy and Black and Miles next time. Thanks to Shannon Sharp.
Let's literally avoid like that. Like watermelon,
like
durags, KFC, Popeye's chicken. Let's avoid that.
Swish.
Checkers.
Yes. Swish. If you could have anyone be your caddy for a day.
Allie's quickly changing the subject.
Yeah.
She quickly changed the subject.
I'm not uncomfortable.
We went full BET and you are straight
MTV. CMT.
CMT, yes.
CMT.
Stone Cold Steve Austin show.
I ain't.
You know I've watched it? Okay, cool. Good talk.
He has a show?
Yeah.
Really?
Yeah. Where it's
on
like
CMT?
People do crazy workout things. They like wrestle each other, run up some crazy hill.
I'll watch it.
I'm not doing that either. I have enough money to not do that.
Oh, wow.
Okay. Someone could be your caddy, Swish.
Jesus.
That would be a good one, actually.
He's like, go ahead, put a little, what you got, water? Boop. Let's get this started. He's like, oh, it's windy. Jesus.
Who'd you ask the question to?
Sorry, I got high dog.
Let's see again. Hilarious. Hey, JR.
Yeah, JR, again. Who would you want your caddy to be?
If I could pick anybody to be my caddy, you know, just because unfortunately he's older and, you know, he doesn't really have that, you know, upbeat of doing it anymore. My dad.
Really?
My dad, yeah.
He's never caddied for you?
Nah, when we play together, like he'll play five, maybe six holes, and then he'll just ride. Like he's more in it for, you know, just the bonding time, father son time, because we don't get to see each other as much.
Yeah.
Especially when he lived with me my first year in New Orleans, but after that, I mean, because I got little brothers and stuff like that, and we got a big family, and now we got so many grandkids or whatever. So we didn't really get to spend as much time with each other as we would like. So I would have to say my dad.
Is that like a space where, I'm not big into golf at all, but is that like a space where it literally would just be the two of you and it's just that time? Is that what kind of like golf can be?
Absolutely. You know what's so crazy about golf, and even though there's so many galleries or whatever, when you're out there and you're sitting and you're hitting the ball and you're talking to your caddy, it's literally like you're out there by yourself.
It's so crazy
because you can be around so many people and still feel
I grew up in Arizona.
Like
my dad was a huge golfer.
I'm good.
You caddied for Jason Day, didn't you?
Yeah.
Yeah, how was that?
It was the worst.
It was the worst?
He's the heaviest bag in the lot.
Oh, really?
He's the heaviest bag.
There's no Sunday bag.
Where'd you caddy for him?
At Firestone.
At Firestone, yeah.
How many holes?
It was practice day.
Luckily, he said 9 holes. It was practice round, so... Yeah, that shit was heavy.
So you carry it the whole way.
The whole way. And walking.
And they walk fast.
No. It's not that they walk fast. By the time you... Listen, okay. My 7-iron is once... It goes 170 yards. I know what it's going to do. All of that. He can hit a 3-iron 170. He can hit a pitching wedge 170. So it's like he just... It's just depending on what he wants to hit and what... kind of shot or how it's shaped or wherever the hole is. I'm sitting there, listen, bro, what club would you like?
Yeah.
You want a 6? All right, cool. I'm thinking it's 7. you know, there's nine. Like, listen, take your club, hit this ball. I'm gonna pick up this heavy ass bag,
and I'm gonna keep it moving.
We're having a great conversation, though. I learned a lot from him. I'm not gonna lie, I did learn a lot from him on the course. There's a lot of course management situations, but carrying that bag. That shit is terrible.
You have a lot of responsibility for guys like that as a caddy, don't you?
Oh, sure. Yes.
I didn't realize that.
They get a portion of the winnings.
10%.
Yeah. Yeah,
but winnings. You got to know the course. You got to know the wind.
This is
you
what I'm
know
saying.
Where like, you want him to land the shot.
That is,
like, the tee shot, he might be able to drive it 300 yards, but his best second shot might be at 240 instead of 300. So he has to – the caddy has
I think that's the hardest job. Because for one, you have to be on point and precise with your numbers and every time. Yeah, the guy hitting the shot, obviously he's got tremendous talent. Yeah. Just tell him to hit it 160, he'll hit it 160 on a dot, make it spin back, go forward, or however he does it. But the guy, if you mess up as the caddy and say, okay, this is 160, and it's 163,
yeah, 3 yards is big.
Like, it's ridiculous.
It's flat. Yeah. Maybe at 160 is flat, but if he hits a 165, he's going down.
It's on this side of the slope. So
that was a lot of stress.
It's a lot of stress.
Ali, you just watched Happy Gilmore.
Yeah,
where you watch Happy Gilmore.
Yeah, he's got six clubs in the bag.
He goes like this. He goes. I think it's a 9-iron. Hand me my 7. Boom. He goes like this to his caddy. He goes, 9-iron, huh?
Where are you at on that one, dipshit?
You're fired. He's like, 9-iron, huh? You're fired. And it's like,
Shooter McGavin.
Shooter McGavin goes, he asked for like his, the guy said it was a 9-iron. He goes, give me my wedge. Boop. 9-iron, huh? Yeah, you're fired. It's like, yeah.
That's an incredible movie.
Yeah,
it's amazing. First of all, Adam Sandler and I have the same birthday, so we're awesome.
Yeah, so you're that's what makes you awesome?
Yeah.
He is my favorite actor.
What's better,
really?
That or yes. Tin Cup?
I can see that.
There's no way you really...
Tin Cup or Happy Gilmore?
Oh, I love Tin Cup.
What's Tin Cup?
It's a golf movie with Kevin Costner.
She's amazing, by the way.
Oh, yeah, Rene Russo. Oh, Rene Russo, yeah.
She's amazing. I got to go Happy
Tin
Gilmore
Cup is
that's just...
It was so ahead of its time.
Oh, for sure.
But the fact that they could make a movie like Tin Cup where it was legitimately about... like golf and like the bullshit, but it wasn't like stupid like Happy Gilmore, but they still made it interesting.
Is the 9-on-9, what was that, 9-on-9, is that a real thing,
the 9-at-9?
I'm not sure, or was that just in the movie?
It might be like one of those, you know, golf rituals that they do introduce the young guys to, but I don't know.
We got it, but so she had never seen Happy Gilmore. But we should just give her, because we're doing movie reviews, right?
Okay.
So it was like, you just kind of give like a minute synopsis on whatever movie, because Allie hasn't seen anything, right? I'm trying to think if...
You got time to send me my Dunkin' Donuts card either, but don't worry about it.
Oh, wow.
Swish. Once I get them, it'll be in your inbox.
We got free Dunkin' Donuts cards?
Oh, jeez. Here we go.
I don't know where we came from.
Look, you don't have one now?
I'm here for the free
stuff.
Not yet.
Nope.
What's up with the sugar donuts, my dogs?
Sugar donuts? No.
Dude, Dunkin' Donuts.
First of all,
you need more sugar donuts.
The vanilla cream is the best donut.
Boston cream is the best donut. I like that. I will give a shout out to Swish, though, because Dunkin' will appreciate it. You like Dunkin' Donuts.
I love Dunkin' Donuts.
Yeah, I'm an ambassador for Dunkin'.
But what I want to know, though, is like, you would. Have you ever done anything for Dunkin'?
I haven't.
You would really go. So if Duncan was like, yo,
listen,
Swish, can
I'm going the extra mile.
Hey, so before every single game, our trainer, Steve Spiro, he stops at the Dunkin' Donut by his crib, right? And grabs, is it him or Steve? Or Gio?
Actually, they alternate? They alternate.
But every day before each game, there's like six cups of coffee. And how do you take your coffee? Tell the people.
First of all, there's five trainers who get their coffee.
No, and that's what I'm saying. I said there's like six of them. I didn't single you out. I said, how do you take your coffee?
Irish.
Say it. No. Say it.
Eight creams, eight sugars.
What?
Oh. Yes.
What size coffee?
Extra large.
Medium.
No. Yeah. They bring me them.
Yes.
But it's espresso. Extra large. Extra large hot coffee, 8 and 8.
Does that make you bounce off the walls?
Oh, yes.
No.
Well, he doesn't sleep. He already said he does not sleep.
Yeah, but that's without coffee. So imagine me with coffee.
Oh, wow.
I've never heard of that.
Yeah. Wow. Oh, eight creams is a thing that really throws you off?
Like, yeah.
It's not the eight sugars.
How's your sugar level?
Have you seen a pump of cream? That is like a full...
That's like a whole cup.
Yeah, Ali, but it's eight sugars.
Eight
cream is cream.
Sugars.
Yeah, that's why.
Oh, there's sugar in that cream.
I know that, but
there's
sugar.
A lot of sugar in that cream.
Basically, really? What we're saying.
Yeah,
is,
hell yeah. That's all. Like that cream, like it's so.
That could
sweet.
Be like a new item for Dunkin' Donuts. The J.R. Smith,
the 8 and
8.
Sweetie,
the Swish.
Yeah. I got that when I was in New York, by the way, the 8 and 8.
And when you get a deal off of this, then you can start sending me things in my email.
Whatever you need. Right now they got Odell, so he's kind of a big.
Do they?
I did see his commercial.
Do they have Odell?
They need a switch.
Dunkin' Donuts have Odell.
But I'm saying
he's
out for the season.
Yeah, the Giants don't have Odell. Dunkin' Donuts got Odell.
Yeah, okay, that's true.
You know what?
True.
I want some competition. What's up, Starbucks? I get green teas. What's up, Starbucks?
They don't care.
First of all, Starbucks is way too expensive. For you,
it is really a guy
who likes a lot of free stuff.
They
are not doing that.
Starbucks. He buys the most expensive water at the gas station.
Yeah, Channing goes in and gets the most expensive water at the gas station.
Oh, for sure.
See?
Oh, you do too?
Oh, I don't go get crystal.
I just go.
No.
I just go smart water. I don't go crystal geyser.
No, I don't.
No, Arrowhead. No. I'm not getting that Arrowhead because you know what that is? Tap.
It's tap in a plastic bottle.
Honestly, I like Dasani though.
Yeah.
I like the sun.
I'm not a
sunny
guy.
I'm not an Aquafina guy.
No, I'm a smart water.
Is it really
smart water?
Is it really that? Is there really that big of a difference?
Yes.
Or is it just
you know what's so? You know what's actually surprising? If you could have asked me this 15 years ago, I would have said absolutely not, because I used to literally turn on the faucet, put my cup under there,
the hose
water
was so good.
Now that I actually have a little bit of money. And
A little bit.
Culture,
you signed a mean deal. Okay. Yeah, listen, sorry. We'll stop.
It was okay.
It was all right.
You're doing a little something.
I'm doing enough for me.
You're eating.
You own my favorite car. Not to change the subject.
The Challenger?
No. The Ferrari.
F12?
Yes.
Really?
Berlinetta? Oh.
Really?
Shannon, do you know there's surgeries?
Car boner.
There's surgery.
You ain't getting a freebie there.
No.
You can do all the shout outs you want.
That ain't happening.
Like,
you can shout out Enzo all you want. He ain't getting one.
I'm saying this right now. Like, I'm just so big. I sat in it, and I literally, when I got my first deal, I was like, this is it. And then 2 months later, Lauren's like, oh, hey, I'm pregnant. I was like,
you realize you've made $60 million since then. Lauren's still like,
yeah,
I'm pregnant.
Yeah. The thing is,
anybody doesn't know, Shannon is popping out babies like Skittles, man.
It's like a Pez dispenser. It's like pull the head back.
I didn't want a middle child, dog. I didn't want a middle child. That's it.
Oh my God,
nothing wrong with middle children.
Now you have two middle children.
Right. They can take care of each other.
What? I don't understand this whole take care of things. I really don't.
Because
you're the youngest, aren't you?
Yes, and I take care of everyone.
Yeah, I mean, you're the moneymaker.
I got 9 nieces and nephews. I got one that I just found out about.
Oh, Lord.
I mean, and I got another. My brother just had another
one. We're not in the same boat.
I got one brother, and he is
no kids
with me. No kids. God. Chilling, lives in New York. His one job is when I come to New York to take me to the best restaurants. That's his one job. And he was trash can last year.
Yeah, he was trash.
But most of the time, Logan comes too.
Shout out to Logan.
Something.
The spot in Toronto was amazing.
Oh, the spot in Toronto was so amazing.
So we're going to.
Frilo 12. Holla at your boy.
Frilo 12.
He's very weird.
So Swish. We're going to change gears a little bit. Right.
Okay.
Where I got two things that I want to talk about.
Oh,
right?
God.
All right.
Two things. I want to talk about this. I want to talk about this because it was addressed in the media one part. Right. And we talked as a team. So like we're 100% on a great space.
I think I know where you're going with this. But,
I don't know. I'll let you pick which one you want to talk about first. Right.
No, give me the first.
No. I'm going to give you the second one. And then we can figure out where we want to start.
OK, cool.
All right. So we have that one that was addressed in the media, which we talked about as a team and everybody's great. And then the second one is the Jemele Hill situation.
Okay. Oh, wow.
Okay.
We're going there.
So we're going to go ladies first.
So we'll go ladies first.
Okay.
So you support Jemele Hill. I did her show not this past summer, but the summer before when she was doing his and hers. I subbed in for Michael Smith, so I got to know Jamel a little bit. So like, yes, we all know Ali, Rafa, like it's in the industry. Chang doesn't give a shit. So it's like, you know, four of the five people here have some sort of understanding of what's going on as Channing checks his Snapchat.
Right.
But
I'm trying to see if he's getting a good feedback.
Oh, okay. Only 101 people saw it. So you're, to start off for people in case they don't know, because I actually don't know, your connection with Jamel is what? How do you know her? What's the...
Actually, I don't.
Okay. Actually, but can you set up what is it that happened? To maybe
so Jamel recently got... Jamel was under fire about a month ago because she said that Donald... She got into a Twitter battle with some people and said that Donald Trump was a white supremacist and he supported white supremacists. And yeah, it was an intense conversation. Now that's Jamel Hill. So there was a lot of intense and people were talking about this and ESPN was like, hey, the views and opinions of Jamel Hill don't necessarily reflect the views and opinions of our company, blah, blah, blah. And then I think they had a conversation with her. The press secretary said that she should be suspended, blah, blah, blah. And then there was a freedom of speech, but it's like you're under your company's umbrella. Fast forward, she gets into another situation. Recently where she was talking about Jerry Jones, who is the owner of your Cowboys. That's yes. why we were talking about Elliot. And, you know, she was like, hey, look, I'm not saying boycott the NFL, but if you guys are that upset, then here are the list of the sponsors that if you stop using the sponsorships, if you guys don't support what Jerry Jones is doing. And it led to a suspension by her. And you tweeted terrible. Out support. To her, like what was kind of the reasoning behind that? Like, why? The cool thing about what we do here is that if you wanted to fucking talk for 10 minutes, go ahead, have at it. I was curious because you can only see things on Twitter in 160 characters. You don't understand right. content or context, but here we can talk about it and understand kind of your views of how you you respect and admire.
I told her she actually. She slid in my DMs after.
I see you, girl.
Nah, but we had a a brief conversation in our DMs. Because I don't know Jamel like that. Mm-hmm. Like I've watched her show, and it's I have tremendous respect for, first of all, a woman to do and come in and talk about. The things that we have going on, whether it's in the locker room as a player or as a family man, like it takes courage to do that as a female, and then to be an African American female to come from where females weren't even allowed to be reporters or broadcasters, came so far, and not just as a as a sex, as a race, as a species, as human, like we came so far. And to sit there and trying to silence someone or shun someone just because of their opinion, I thought that's what the whole thing of quote-unquote being different or, freedom of speech, your rights. Now, granted, I understand you can't work for Pepsi and go over there saying, I love Coke or whatever. You know what I mean? Like, I understand that. I understand there's certain consequences that comes with, your job and your title or whatever. But when you're sitting here talking about people's rights and what's going on, what's right or wrong, in your opinion, especially as someone in her situation, I don't think you can...
Do you think it would have been different if it had been a white male or a white female who made the comment?
Actually, I do.
You do? Okay.
100%.
Yeah. Okay, so that's different. I do. Yeah.
And it's just...
But Swish, and I'm going to disagree with you there, right? I think from ESPN's standpoint, from a brand management, whoever says this, ESPN is going to have... If a white reporter were to say Donald Trump is a white supremacist and he supports white supremacists, I think that individual probably would have gotten some heat from whoever, because let's say he's a Democrat or he's a liberal. Like, I'm just saying, like, those statements right there, regardless of race or color, now it might have been inflamed more because of her, but I feel like that might have been an intense situation regardless of your race or color.
I don't think it would have got to where it is now.
Okay, that's fair.
So do you not acknowledge that Jamel Hill has a huge voice that is listened to and that ESPN can only
allow her to speak her mind or her opinions to a certain point to where now you're messing with, because what it really comes down to is money, 100%. Right. So she can speak her mind, but when you start messing with money,
not as an employer at ESPN.
As an employer, right. You, like,
but she's not losing, in that situation, she's not losing ratings. If anything, she's gaining them because people want to hear what she has to say. That right there alone tells you, like, seriously, how many people watch reality TV? No one is not reality.
I do.
No one people just sit there fight and act crazy. But people are attracted to it. People want to see that. So she's not losing.
But I got to tell you something, though. Like, I'm an employee of the Cavs. Right. And, you know, I see so many people on their handles put, like, you know, Richard Jefferson, the opinions are mine. But as an employee of any organization, I do represent that organization. So absolutely. I can't really go on Twitter and express my political views or express...
But why can't you express your political views out of all things? Why is politics so...
Nowadays it is.
Nowadays
it's more... It's like... Your political views are high, or like valued more than what church you go to. Like, it doesn't.
Well, let me correct myself. I can express my political views. I cannot take sides in a way that she did because she was attacking sponsors.
Well, wait, Rafa. She never attacked sponsors.
Oh, she was saying
no.
Don't boycott.
She said this. Someone asked her if just not watching football is enough. Me just not turning on mm-hmm. football, I don't feel like that's enough. How else can I impact something that I feel is unjust? And she was, and Jamel was like, well, here's a list of the Dallas Cowboys sponsors. So you can not support their sponsors, mm-hmm. right?
Which is perfectly fine.
There's nothing wrong with
that. She's like, I'm not telling, and then she came out and sent a text, like, I'm not telling you to boycott the NFL. I'm not telling you to boycott. I'm just merely telling you that if this is how you feel and you feel strongly about something and you just feel like on Sundays, I'm not going to turn on the NFL, but there's other ways to affect, you know, something that you feel is not right.
But you're affecting that money.
Yeah.
That's the issue. You're affecting the money now.
It's so funny.
You have put names to a face.
Yeah.
Or face to names. Yeah, face to
names. Whatever one you want to change. The one thing I want to hear your opinion on this. Rachel Nichols, she did a segment a couple of weeks ago. I think you liked it. Bron liked it on Twitter. Where she did a full segment on her show, The Jump, which is an amazing show. You guys should check it out. Rachel is one of the best in the game. She did a segment where she showed how J.J. Watt raised $37 million mm-hmm. using his platform to help raise awareness for what happened in Houston and to raise awareness and to bring money so that he can help rebuild Houston. Captain Jack. Right, he's from Port Arthur, Texas. Yep. He used his platform on The Jump and on social media to help raise awareness for Port Arthur, right? And to help
big
try
perk.
And get money. Yeah, big perk. Like lots
OKC
of people.
To donate.
Lots of people. And so they used their platform. And you can say, you know, Colin Kaepernick, he was kneeling. Well, that's work, blah, blah, blah. Well, wait a second. My thing is this. If you look at it from a standpoint of like, they were airing the J.J. Watt commercial during NFL Sunday.
Yes.
The narrative that was being chased here or was being made aware about was the you should just stick to sports.
You should just stick to sports.
Oh. Narrative.
And so what it is it's more of just showing now how things are affecting your community, right? One community was affected by a hurricane, right? I think I can't speak especially for Colin Kaepernick, but I think what he was trying to raise awareness for in a way that people don't necessarily agree with, everyone's entitled to their opinion, is for the police brutality and the systemic racism that goes on in the justice system and with police in his community, in the African-American community. So what he did is he decided to show a sign of a peaceful protest to raise awareness. And so what Rachel did in her segment was like, look, you can't have these guys raise $40 million, $50 million to help rebuild Houston.
I'm not wanting to get involved.
Using their platform and affecting their community. But then when they feel like there's a social injustice or if they feel like there's police brutality going on in their community and they want to do something, well, kneeling in the anthem, you're disrespecting the troops. And it's like, well, no, this is not about the troops. This is to raise awareness. And this is the only way I can do it. Is by doing it. And again,
in the most peaceful,
and everybody is entitled to their opinion. I'm not saying your opinion is wrong. If you think kneeling for the national anthem is wrong, you're entitled to your opinion.
Right.
That's the beautiful thing about our country. You know, we talked about, I think that the people in Charlottesville, I personally believe that with the freedom of speech, if you are a peaceful protester, you can do whatever you want. So if racist people and white nationalists, white supremacists want to go and peacefully protest, I believe that they're entitled to that.
Absolutely.
Right. I believe that they're
not to say that it's right or wrong.
Thank you.
But they're absolutely allowed to do that.
100%. And I'm not saying it's right or wrong. I might disagree. But they are entitled to that. And I don't think that it's anti-American. I don't think it's I think it's like, yo, that's
what
makes
it.
You're entitled to your opinion. I think the Westboro Baptist Church, I don't know if you're familiar with them, these people will, like, they will protest at funerals and say God hates fags and this and that. And I think, like, when people die, like, they will go to troops' funerals and protest at troops' funerals. And I believe that they are entitled.
They're entitled to it.
They're entitled. I don't agree with it.
It's not okay.
What I'm saying is I don't agree with it. But that is the thing
about
their country.
Man, I think the point that is lost here is that it gets to the point, the way I look at it is, that by the way they're protesting, they start putting people that might be on their side against them. Because they're getting, I'll give you an example, Colin Kaepernick.
Yeah.
He started this whole thing, started by Colin Kaepernick. But he goes to Miami and gives a press conference with a T-shirt with Fidel Castro meeting Malcolm X. And I cannot believe that you're going to tell me that Colin Kaepernick doesn't know the situation in Miami with the Cuban community and how the whole situation is. So he throws all that group, that whole community, now is against what maybe they might be on his side or what he's protesting against.
Right. Yeah.
But by him doing that, he's alienating. He's just pushing away that whole community.
And you were the first person that we've ever had on here, and we've talked about political issues or talked about this. So this is not – like, we are our podcast is about cracking jokes, being stupid, talking about basketball, talking about our team, drinking wine. But it was something that you had talked about multiple times. So having you on, I feel like we would be doing you a disservice by not addressing this. Like, this is going on every day. You can turn on any radio. You can turn on any TV and listen and talk about this. But, you know, we are the ones that are kind of on the front lines within sports, right? Everyone is looking at the Cavs. Like, you've had comments. People look at LeBron. People look at our team to see, well, what are these guys do? What are these guys' opinions? What do they talk about? So that's the only reason why we're addressing this.
I think it's cool, though, too, kind of to your point earlier, Richard, where, you know, your simple tweet of, I stand with Jamel, because there's so few characters you're able to use on a social platform, or because you can stand in front of the media and more times than not, just a headline is what's going to draw attention or create shock value. So an opportunity for you to come on a platform like this to speak openly and freely, it educated me because, like I said, I didn't know your connection to Jamel. I didn't know your understanding behind that I stand with her. That was powerful in itself. But then to be able to elaborate and be able to appreciate who you are and what you feel on such a situation that's so big in our world now, I think is important.
Appreciate that. For whatever reason, I don't know, and still to this day, I don't know why my social media platform is so big or how it's even gotten
to
this point.
But that's because
you literally didn't wear a shirt for a year.
I know why.
What's wrong with that?
But that goes back.
Let me ask you. Hold on. Before we go any further about this, what is so wrong about not wearing a shirt?
Well, the thing is,
everybody loves not wearing a shirt.
Do you know what I tell you?
Do women not like wearing bras?
What's wrong with that?
That's the best.
Wait. Okay, be careful, Channing.
Yes.
I'm not. Let them be free.
Okay. No, I'm free. It's like, look.
Don't
like,
constrain yourself. I don't want to wear underwear.
I don't wear underwear 90% of the time. You're right.
That's
so awesome. No, tights and workout gear is different.
Right, exactly. Neither, yeah. You got to tuck it in.
You do wear underwear.
But again.
Yes, I do. I wear undies. What are those?
Me undies.
Me undies. Yeah. You know what? We'll get
you're
you some.
Yeah.
You like some me undies?
Me undies. Hook me up.
Hook you up. You know, seriously, JR, not just you, but all our listeners can visit meundies.com/road if you want to look good in your underwear. Be comfortable, and not only that, if you want to find that perfect balance that is hard to find, you don't have to sacrifice style or comfort. You're such a stylish guy. So check out meundies.com/road, and you're going to get 20% off your purchase. So visit meundies.com/road and find out for yourself about the best part that Channing likes about his meundies, the diamond shaped cup that protects his family jewels.
A diamond.
So, the Ghiblis.
Ali's trying to bring us back on track. Yeah.
So you have a problem with people thinking that it's crazy that you didn't wear a shirt?
I mean, I don't have a problem with it. It's
not
just
a problem,
like people who...
You find it funny.
I find it funny who people, you know, people who really, like, just
I
find it something...
The president is talking about.
I think he's
President Barack Obama talked about
I
you not wearing a shirt.
More about you. I think it's more about the expression that people loved about it. And remember when it happened.
And the moment.
I mean, it was an epic time. The moment. I mean...
Ooh,
3 days after,
Hennessy.
3 days after,
definitely was not.
3 days after the parade, you still don't have a shirt on. I do an interview with you on live TV.
It was low key hot.
Without a shirt
if
on.
My head was really hot.
It was so hot. First, I was sweating. What do you think I was wearing black during the parade?
I never in my life had sunburn. That day of the parade, I had sunburn.
Come play volleyball in California. You will get sunburn. I literally had to put it on my bald.
On your what?
On my baldy. On my bald head.
Oh. Yeah.
What else would you say?
I thought you said I had to put it on my balls. I was like, what?
Most laid on a headstand.
Yeah, what are you doing out there?
Hermosa Beach is not a nude beach.
No, it's not
a nude beach.
Oh man, yeah. But it's like, dude. But JR, like, you know, you're a very in shape guy, but you got like no cuts though. You're the most shirtless
cuts,
dude with no cuts.
Everybody's so distracted by the tattoos. Just
JR, do you have a six pack?
Yeah.
No. You go sit here and lie on a podcast.
I do.
Wait,
talk
about there's a million videos of him without a shirt on. There's no lie. What are you
I'm
talking
sorry,
about?
Just because you're not the most fit guy.
I'm fit. You know, look, it's a business in the front and party on the side, man.
A party on the side. Okay. Okay. So
it's like I'm down for business, but I'm also here to have a good time.
Yeah. Yeah. Don't encourage him, Swish.
So you don't know why your Twitter is as big as it is?
I don't. Honestly, I mean, I haven't. I mean, think about it. Realistically, if I was. There's no difference between my Twitter or Instagram that anybody else really does. Now, granted, obviously, it's much different from Bronze because he's a whole.
You have Swish tattooed on your neck.
Yeah, for sure. That's what I do.
You have a Decepticon tattoo.
Yeah, I have Autobots too.
Where's Autobots. Autobots on their side.
What made you get that?
I
love Transformers.
I had a car and I put like a decal of like Autobots.
Autobots.
I don't go Decepticon.
Sure.
I go Autobots.
No, I don't just go Decepticon.
I don't fuck with Decepticons
at all.
Yeah, Michael Bay, fix that franchise.
Please
seriously,
do.
Get
God,
that shit right.
Please.
Just make a Dinobots movie.
No, the problem
it's
is
so
that the
easy.
Problem is that every one of the movies,
yeah,
the Autobots are awesome. The storyline sucks. Every
How
time they
this?
Transform, it's amazing.
Make them fight on the movie.
It's amazing.
It's
every time,
amazing.
It's the first time you, every time you hear, like, I wanted to, no bullshit, and you guys know me, so like, I wanted my, yeah,
so
but my, I wanted to name my son like Danger. I wanted his middle name to be Danger, right? So it would be Richard Danger Jefferson, right? I thought it would be hilarious.
So
it'd be
Dick
awesome.
Danger.
So his name would be Dick Danger. She wasn't having it, right? She was not having it, right? She was not having it. She was not having his name be Dick Danger, which I think is the most amazing name because no one gives a shit about middle names. People don't even know your fucking first name, right?
Right, exactly.
So I was like, yo,
Earl.
Yeah. So I was like this. I was like, I know. Yeah, everyone, his name is Earl Smith. So
thanks.
Big Earl.
So I was like, yo, if I can't get that, my next one EJ. Was going to be. So his middle name is Dominus.
For you, bro. I have a cousin named EJ. No.
Oh, yeah, no. So his middle name is Dominus, right? And I wanted Optimus. She wasn't having it. She wasn't having Optimus. And then I was like, well, what about Prime? She's like, she looked at me like I was an idiot. And
she's
so,
English. They didn't have TV.
Yeah, yet. So she was not feeling it. So I got Dominus because if you go back to the root word of Latin, yeah. then you get the danger. Word danger. So his name is still, like, his name is Dick Dom, right? Dick Dominus. His name is Dick Dominus.
The fact that he's put this much thought into his kid's
oh,
name.
Oh, man.
What? Ridiculous. Dick Dominus is
I really
awesome
wanted to name
name
my first son Soundwave, but that, Lord,
that did not work out.
Soundwave or Shockwave?
It's Soundwave.
No,
yeah, it is Soundwave. No, Soundwave. He had the three people, or actually he had four. He had the guy.
He had the
the bird, the cat.
The cassettes. Allie has no
what
idea
are
what we're talking
about.
Transformers.
Transformers.
Allie,
Transformers. Yeah. And Transformers is amazing.
The Transformer, the movie, was really trippy. I actually have that movie and watched it. Like, I remember how tight this
the
was.
First time Optimus,
it,
the first
it was
time,
like,
the first time, Optimus,
five of them,
the first time Optimus Prime is like,
I don't know. Autobots, roll out.
You're just like,
sick.
Like you're in the
crumble.
Movie theater. Just,
you just feel like, crumble. Oh, dog.
You're in man. The movie theater like
look,
print.
The
like,
kid who actually had all the Constructicons.
I never fuck with him.
No, you didn't mess with the Constructicons?
No, I didn't really.
But it was five of them, and then you would like.
Yeah.
Oh, so, dude.
Swish, last thing. It was addressed in the media. You kind of talked to us as a group about not starting, right? Yeah. And your thing was like, we've been in three straight finals.
Right.
We've won a championship. Like, and so, you know, that, and I felt like I didn't want to make a big deal out of it because people that know you know that you are an emotional, a passionate, a competitive, like you've talked about multiple times, like, yo, you would go to war with any of us.
For sure.
And one of the things that people don't fully understand is this. Every basketball player at the end of his career, at some point in time in his career, it's like, you know, fans will be like, give me your starting five, right? Well, NBA players, we have this. Give me 15 guys that you've played with over these 10 years that you would go to battle with, right? Not guys that you were a fan of, guys that you like. That you, give me guys that have been on your team that if you had to come up with a roster.
You.
Who would you go to battle? So I'm saying you are one of those guys, like, easily for me. And I've played with Hall of Famers.
That.
I've played with MVP.
Yeah, you're on my team.
Yeah, yeah.
You're on my team.
Channing, not
that.
So much.
Damn.
I think
you need
a
good locker room, guys.
You could be a coach.
Listen, are we playing?
You can play
are we
D
playing
Jones?
A big five so I could stretch the floor or no?
Big five
so,
or big three league?
What were your thoughts?
Nah.
What were your thoughts when that kind of first went down and you were kind of processing it? And what you know, where did you go with it?
Honestly, I was hurt, man. Like I was really emotionally drained at that point because
when the trade happened or when they said it.
No, I got wind of it that it was gonna go down.
Yeah,
but I didn't know it was. I was told it was. You know, he's gonna be great for the second unit. Da 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 da.
He is
this.
Dwayne.
So yeah, D Wade. So you know. It would be great fit for the team, whatever. I'm like, awesome, let's do it. Like,
yeah,
100%. Why, out of all people, we're just gonna another person. We're just gonna grab for damn near nothing.
Yeah,
for sure, let's do it.
Both show.
Well, we gotta start them. Wait, what? Now we're talking about two totally different things.
Yeah.
Wait a minute. Like.
Yeah.
Now, for one, and I. My first initial thought was it wasn't even to be selfish because that's just not who I am as a player and
agreed.
As a person.
So you also were one really quick that said 2 weeks ago on the wall that this team is the most egoless team when it comes to winning.
Oh, it's
that
crazy.
It, that
it's
it is
ridiculous.
All about one goal.
Ridiculous.
And you on the wall to media said if you are all about that, you should ask for your papers now and that you don't have a problem telling people that.
Right.
So that's something that people should understand that that's not where you're coming from.
Right.
But
absolutely.
It's different when you're told something.
But it's different.
Yeah, it's
when
different.
You're told
like when you tell me one thing, like I'm a one track mind. I'm not thinking about a million things. Listen, I need you to go out there and lock this dude up. All right, cool. I'm going to go do that. Now I need you to go pick and roll and do this. Listen, wait a minute. listen.
Look, you're gonna
go
still
lock
trying to
up.
Roll to the basket.
Yeah. Like, no, yeah. That's what I do. I'm a one track mind. This is what I'm I've always, you know,
kind of been.
Yeah,
it's your comfort zone.
That's just me. So when you tell me something, I'm looking at it as gold. So when I, when you tell me something else, literally a couple of days later, it's like now I gotta change my mind frame from where I was at for the last 3 years to flip it back to me being the sixth
a successful three years.
I mean, we've been to three straight finals, but
yeah, I mean,
whatever. So to revert back, and the first thought I thought about, unfortunately, was New York. Like, damn, I gotta go back to being the sixth man
and just scoring and off just the bench, scoring, and just being aggressive,
scoring, being aggressive. And at the same time, I'm looking at our lineup. Like, my first thought was the lineup. Like, okay, but who's gonna stretch the floor? Mm. Okay, we got Jay, who's a knockdown 3-point shooter. Kev is a knockdown 3-point shooter, but that's two out of the five guys that's got to be on the floor.
Yeah. The rest are driving, like penetrators.
Yeah, like
playmakers. They can score.
There's a difference between a scorer that can shoot and a shooter that can score.
Right.
Right. There's a difference.
And for us, we need people who can open up the lane so those guys can do what they do. So my initial thought was, you know, and I talked to Tristan about this as well, because, okay, you know, at Double T, we need to be able to be versatile and can stretch the floor with multiple, you know, multiple guys, especially at the big position, mm-hmm. and, you know, going in that situation. So when I thought about it, I'm like, okay, well, if we have two wings who – mainly your wings stretch the floor. You know, you always, your two guard is always probably one of your best shooters out there. And fortunately for us, we had Kyrie in
as
previous
point,
years
yeah.
as a point, so which was a blessing in disguise because he could penetrate. First of all, he's the best offensive player I've ever seen in my life. So he could shoot spot ups, off the dribble, post up,
kick out.
Go to the basket, get fouled, shoot 90% from the line, finish, whatever.
Yeah.
So, obviously, in that situation, we need more space. Mm-hmm. D-Rose, he's not a better shooter. We can call it that as Kyrie, but he's an amazing penetrator. He has the best
so fast.
Fake out passes I've ever seen in my life.
Yo, it's crazy.
Listen,
he'll jump in the air, fake three passes, and then find the open man, which crazy. I've never seen anybody do, including LeBron.
I talk trash to him. I say you're traveling. You're hitting the ground and still throwing the ball.
I've made three calls about how being impressed with being impressed with people. Number one was Brandon Roy. I called my boys and was like, "Yo, this dude is unguardable." Like, and then the second call was Kyrie, because I didn't know when I came here.
Do you mind how you play with Steve Nash?
No, I know, but you know Steve. You see Steve.
I'm kidding.
Like when you see,
I'm kidding. I'm fucking.
I know. No. Love you, Steve. Duck.
but Steve Nash got him a lot of money.
Oh man.
Steve's gonna be like, wait, what?
He got a lot of people, a lot of money.
Yeah, sure, I play with Jay Kidd. He got a lot of people, a lot of money.
Well, listen, the third person. I called my brother after I saw D-Rose. I said, "This boy is barbecue chicken." I have never seen a man so violently go to the rack like he does, and then loop-de-loop, and then all of a sudden the ball like floats up and just goes in every single time. And then his ability to pass is crazy. Crazy. It's so much better than what I thought it was.
Yeah.
Because I thought he was really like, get a screen, attack the big, finish. You know,
he's so strong.
But now it's like he's throwing passes over his head, behind his back. I think he sees the floor because we do have floor spacing. And like, not to kind of switch back over to what JR's doing, it's like,
let's switch back over.
What do you mean? Is that like, you know what? I think for us, like Richard and I, we understand like you got to take a sacrifice. Like everybody has to sacrifice something.
Right. Yeah.
And then
absolutely.
I look at like
sacrifice my way out of it.
Right. Oh God, come on, Rich. too soon. But anyway, it's like for me,
look,
I'm like,
Allie's
so sad. But look, it's like
wait,
for me.
It happened?
No, it didn't happen.
What?
No, for me,
he's
I'm like
sacrifice his way out.
No, I'm
that's
like
what
no.
I said.
Yeah. For me, I'm like, fuck, this sucks. But I'm like, dude, Mo Williams and Dante Jones got in the third round of the playoffs. I'm cool. I have a chance. Yeah. And I'm like, I've never been on a team like this.
And they got
I'm
rings,
okay.
by the way.
They got rings.
And they got
same
rings.
Size as ours. Same
size
right.
as ours.
So everybody's going to make a sacrifice. But at the end of the day, you know, if you're on their grind and you do what JR does, that's come in early, gets his job done, works hard as hell, he plays the game the right way. I know Coach Lou is going to put the best five guys out there. Now, that lineup for our team, who knows what that can look like? Because that could
Absolutely.
Look like D-Rose, JR, Dwayne, LeBron, Kevin. That could look like Tristan, Kevin, JR, LeBron, D-Rose.
You never said your name.
Yeah. Wait, is this like early third quarter minutes? Look, also, you got to know who you are. At this point, look, if I'm in at the fourth quarter, we're playing either Atlanta or Indiana. So it's like, like, and I'm just saying it. Hey, got to edit that out so they don't
Hang on, there is some truth to that, though, because if you look at all the changes in the turnover from last year to this year,
yeah.
there are a ton of teams that you couldn't even, like, right now I could bet you money that you couldn't name a starting five.
Oh, we talking about our team. How many? Okay, so
it's crazy.
There's the three of us.
It wouldn't
ever
even including
and
Isaiah,
Tristan, right?
Which is even crazy.
They're still here from when we won a championship.
Three of
Kevin.
Us
and Shump, Kevin. So Kev, six, Shump. Six,
six, seven,
seven. How many guys?
Six. Starting five.
No.
Four. No.
It's just Kevin.
Kevin.
Just Kevin and LeBron.
Kevin and LeBron.
You three.
I'm sleepy.
Tristan.
Us and five.
Shump.
Tristan six. Shump seven.
So eight guys.
Seven.
Seven.
Seven. Seven.
No, I was seven. You go. So eight guys.
No, I didn't know if he was including himself.
Seven is a lot.
No, seven is a lot.
For a championship
and
team.
They open you
but
up
a year later.
No,
but I'm saying a year later that went to the finals also.
Right.
Yeah. Right. Like, yeah. So, but that's part of it. Kevin always jokes and says that it's always kind of like the Sandlot. Allie's never seen it. Have you seen Sandlot?
Yes,
okay.
I have.
So you know at the end of the Sandlot. You know
there's no way.
She had never seen White Man Can't Jump.
What? Still have it. And get this.
Why do you think we're doing movie reviews?
Have you seen Above the Rim?
No, she definitely hasn't seen that.
No, so I hadn't seen White Man Can't Jump, and we interviewed Marcus Johnson on our podcast at a seminar. And what does Richard start with?
Yeah,
Raymond.
Not to say Raymond. So you, Raymond. Not to say Raymond.
Raymond, give me that damn gun.
It's been like a two-hour podcast.
Is it?
This is a very long podcast.
But first of all, this is the 50th podcast, so this is like a big deal.
This is the golden.
We got
golden edition.
We got three NBA champions here.
For sure.
We could take our
time. Hard to get.
It's hard to get. It's hard to get three champions out here. An Emmy winner. Wait, an Emmy winner? We got two Emmy winners and three champions.
Actually, we won the Emmy on the segment, the episode that JR was on.
Well, damn right. We're going to win an Emmy for this shit.
It is what
it's not
it
your
is.
Fault.
We
you know
shoot
and
shoot, B.
Not for you. So, yes. We'll end on that, Channing. Great
yes,
call.
Thank
Great
you.
Call.
I feel like that's a good note.
Allie?
On White Man Can't Jump?
No, just on... Nah, this ain't Raymond. Swish, man. Thanks. Hey, thanks
thank
for coming
Thank you so
on.
Much.
Absolutely.
You're going to come on again?
Of course.
Okay. All right. As long as you
Whenever
come on
Whenever you guys
again.
Need me, I'm here.
Yeah, man. I think it was finally good to get you on a solo tip.
It's great.
Yeah.
It's great. I like it.
And
it's
again, awesome.
Easy. Now he can check his snap, I guess.
Yeah. Now Channing can get on. He's checking Instagram while we're doing this.
DMs. Are you in like serious withdrawal?
No, he's struggling. It's like literally 45 minutes.
He has to
no, he's back.
What? Like, what in the world is so important?
Do you
via
guys not know
media?
I have ADD?
No,
it's a serious issue.
No, but there's
stop it.
But there's
Did
a
you
level.
Take my phone?
There's
Did
a level. There's a level of ADD. But there's also something about like, yo, like we're with our people, and it's like you understand. Where were we at? Where are we at? It was like a little bit ago, and I'm with him, and he's walking with his head down, and I'm like, Channing, I'm not going to keep hanging out with you, dog, if you're just going to be in your phone the whole time. And I was like, yo, that's the one thing about going to
that's
dinner with
scary,
your boys.
Man.
You can be on your phone. Like, you can text. Like, you can this. You can just. But when it's like, it's like you don't even mess with me.
Walking and texting is very dangerous.
I'm in some serious
No, it
text
really
chains.
Is.
I got a concussion in college. It was
stop it.
You were texting when you were in college?
I was texting my freshman year, and I was walking, and I ran into
a light
pole.
I don't think there were
cell phones. Light pole.
I
wish there was video of that.
See, that's tough. That's like, for me, where I'm from, like walking
Jersey?
In Texas, is, or walking in
the
texting.
The suburbs of New Jersey?
I mean, you can call it that, but.
You can call it that.
You can
Wait,
call
why
it
does everybody think you're a thug, but you're from like the suburbs and went to a private school?
Well, technically,
have you seen that? Sorry, have you seen that that girl that walks, the girl that walks, and she's trying to say the word technically, technically, no. technically, you know? She's
no,
like, whatever
no.
the. It is.
Oh, did we get Allie to cuss on the 50th episode?
There we go. No, don't bleep.
No bleep.
Shit.
No, no bleep.
No bleep.
I'll give her a shout out. Savannah James posted it on Instagram, and it's this girl, and she's all excited about her body, and she thinks she has a six pack, and she's trying to describe her six pack, and she like can't say the word technically. And on the fifth one, this woman who's taking the video, she was like, "It's technically." She goes, "She screws it up again," and she was like, "Whatever the f- it is." It is so funny. Fuck off.
Yes. He's like, I don't even have anything else to say.
I don't even know what we're talking about.
Yeah, yeah, perfect.
Yeah.
No, you're talking about texting and walking in your home.
Texting and walking. Where I'm from, texting and walking, it just doesn't work out well. You know, that's like a automatic, like a how Perk would say that's a mark. Like that's it's easy. Like if you're texting and walking, that means you're not aware of your surroundings.
Oh,
let's say that.
Okay, fair.
And then.
So, Swish, because you are an NBA on NBC guy, would you like to close us out with the NBC song?
You guys going to
– Yeah. You can start.
You already started. So how do
– You said you guys going to start, and I felt bad.
No,
so
wait, get yourself together.
Join in. Go ahead.
Before you start, let me remind all our listeners about this survey that we are taking part of, and we are asking them to share with us 3 to 4 minutes of their time after this podcast and take part on this survey at podcastlistener.com/road. podcastlistener.com/ROAD. It's only a few questions and we just want to pick your brain. We just want to see how you can help us. So please go ahead, visit, take the survey and give us a hand. podcastlistener.com/road.
podcastlisteners.com/road.
Listener. Singular.
I seriously think now he started. He needs to do the road trip.
Podcastlisteners.com.
Like Jamie Foxx.
And now you can start
like
the song.
J.G. Wentworth. It's my money and I want it now.
Plug J.G. Wentworth. Yeah, we need our money.
Yeah, we need our money.
We need it now.
Now you can start the song.
All right, close us out.
Hey, Road Trippin' fans, we have a surprise for you. This Saturday, October 14th at 4 p.m., the Road Trippin' crew will be recording a live podcast at the Amish store at Crocker Park in Westlake. Along with listening into episode 51, us, along with Amish, have collaborated on some pretty cool swag. At least we believe so. So for all of you, released today, October 13th, in store and online, you can grab your very own Road Trippin' tees. And if you don't get a chance to grab one today, you can do so with us tomorrow. Crocker Park, Amish store, 4 p.m.